This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. Today is the last in KSJD's three-part series on wildfire, and this morning we'll be talking about policy for managing wildfire on public lands and how the cost of fighting wildfires is affecting that policy and decisions made by public lands officials. Joining me in the studio this morning is Steve Underwood. He's the fire management officer for Mesa Verde National Park, and Rebecca Samolsky. She's the wildfire prevention and education specialist with the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Well, let's start off. Steve, can you give us just a little bit of an update? What are current fire conditions? It looks like still pretty high out there, but what's going on with fuels and fire danger right now?
Well, it's interesting. The higher altitude areas are still very wet. And I won't say very wet. They're wet and they're green. And what we use to differentiate that is the areas above 160, typically, Highway 160, have had more rain and more moisture, and there is still more of a higher kind of a green stage, which is harder for fire to burn through. South of 160, however, there was less rain in the storms we had in April and May, and there it's very dry. My large fuels that are 3 inches and larger, which is a dead and down wood, greater than 3 inches, are at all time lows at Mesa Verde. So the transition stems from the southern part of our area here is very dry, and the northern area is drying out. But it's not as much of an issue as the south part.
Do you see any fire bans coming on the way for the park or anywhere around here?
Well, the park is always in a what other people call a level one set of fire bans, because we have we maintain all of our fires in protected fire grates. We don't allow fires in our backcountry at all, and so we're always at a higher level. I think right now there is some discussion that's going to go on this morning at 9:30, and I'm not sure if it'll be this week or next week, but we will start seeing some fire bans here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about policy for wildfires at Mesa Verde National Park. Just walk us through, when you have a lightning strike or something happens up there and you see someone spot some smoke, what happens up there? What's the policy?
We are a full suppression fire area, which means that we don't let fires burn naturally as bigger parks such as Yellowstone or Grand Canyon might. We put out all of our fires, and so instantly we let our neighbors know, we let our dispatch know, we send some folks out there, we get a good triangulation of where the fire is, and then we go into a full suppression mode. There are some areas that are, in our opinion, at Juniper, which don't have good safety zones, which is the necessary component for us to engage a fire, which means that we don't have a way necessarily to get into those fires and then safely have egress to an exit area. So in those fires, we may hit them really hard with aircraft first before we send boots on the ground.
And where are those resources coming from? Are those pretty much federal resources, the aircraft, boots on the ground? Are you sharing those resources across several different agencies in this area?
We do. And for initial attack, it's we typically are mostly federal folks on federal lands. But as we get into an extended attack where it becomes maybe a fire that takes several days to put out, then it's county and local, it's federal agencies, it can be agencies from out of state, it can be state agencies. The seed aircraft are paid for by the state of Colorado. So really, the initial attack, the one-day fire, the short little smokes that go out quickly are handled by us, but then it expands quickly as the fire gets bigger.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This is our final part in our three-part series on wildfire this morning. And this morning in the studio with me is Steve Underwood. He's the fire management officer for Mesa Verde National Park. Also joining us is Rebecca Samolsky, the wildfire prevention and education specialist with the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. One of the probably more complicated parts of all of this is the cost of fighting fires, who pays for what, how that cost is shared. Rebecca, can you talk a little bit about how costs have been increasing over the last few years as we've seen more wildfires?
Well, the costs for suppression have just gone up dramatically, but we're also seeing the costs of recovery and the losses going way up in the last few years. 2012, we had some major losses in the state of Colorado to a lot of homes, and that really kind of reinvigorated the insurance industry and looking at those costs because they'd seen such big losses. And so that's starting to affect a shift and a realization that the cost on the suppression end and the recovery end can be much greater than what it would cost to change the fire behavior on the front end so that we don't have those significant losses and we can have more friendly fires.
Well, when you say recovery costs, what do you mean when you say that?
Costs of rebuilding, costs of dealing with mud flows coming down over roads and erosion and receding, and cost to the community when you have a big loss like that and you're dealing with, you know, if Mesa Verde is closed for a week, I don't know what the daily, how much you lose every day that the park is closed, but our community kind of depends on that, especially during the summertime for tourism.
Who pays for these costs? We're talking about these cost increases. Where is that money coming from?
Everybody. It comes through our whole community. So as far as the federal suppression budget, you know, that's coming out of those are taxpayer dollars, but that's also, I think it's been every year for a while now that the federal budget has exceeded, that suppression's gone above the federal budget for suppression.
In the Forest Service, they have a different funding mechanism, and they have had to put a lot of money beyond what was budgeted for fire for the past few years. I believe Congress is working on that now to try and come up with a solution, but I'm not very familiar with that. The way it works on an individual fire is that we see where the fire started, and so whoever owns that land has some responsibility for putting that fire out. And then if the fire spreads out and 30% of it is on state land, 30% is on federal land, and 30% of it is on the city of Durango, for instance, or 40%, then that gets divided up, and each agency bears that percentage of the costs. And we actually can get pretty precise by land on who owns the most.
So it's based more or less on the acreage and where that fire is occurring?
Yes.
Okay.
So it can be very expensive for a city or a county to have a fire that costs $500,000 to put out, and that's a big hit on a budget, even if only a third of it is on their property.
Yeah, and that's just on the putting out the fire end of things. We've also seen with things going over the budget on the federal side, then what's been getting tapped in recent years is other pieces of the federal budget. So the fuels programs, the biology, the recreation, all of those budgets start taking a hit, and we no longer have those services for our federal lands because it's all going into the emergency suppression activity. And then on the other end of it, the cost of some of the recovery I was talking about, it's getting into more of the county, the local costs, county dealing, taking care of the roads, utilities, rebuilding lines, people rebuilding their homes.
Steve, how are federal agencies, and maybe in your case, how is the Park Service responding to this cost increase? What's been happening as these costs have been going up and up?
Well, we just keep bearing the costs. The chief thing we can do is by doing to be proactive is to do hazardous fuels mitigation in front of fires, and so then we have less. By reducing the fuels, or BTUs per square foot is what I use, by reducing the amount of heat that comes out around homes, it's a lot easier for us to protect those homes or protect, say, for instance, I worry about the historic districts up in Mesa Verde. And so we do a lot of work around those buildings to lower the amount of heat that will impact them. And then by lowering that, we also allow more, we allow our structural firefighters to go in there and just be able to safely protect those buildings should a fire move in. And that model is really the best model that we have for lowering long-term lowering of costs, and that's what people should take as a personal responsibility in their own homes and communities.
This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This is the final segment in our three-part series on wildfire this morning, and we're talking about policy for managing wildfire on public lands with Steve Underwood, the fire management officer for Mesa Verde National Park, and Rebecca Smolsky, the wildfire prevention and education specialist with the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. This is KSJD, and you're listening to the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. Today is our final series, our final segment in the three-part series on wildfire. If you missed the other two that happened on the previous two Mondays, you can go to ksjd.org and listen to those in their entirety. And if you missed any part of today's program, you can also go and listen to that when we put it up here in just a couple hours. Today we're talking about managing a wildfire on public lands and what you can do to help firefighters. This morning my guests are Steve Underwood, Fire Management Officer for Mesa Verde National Park, and Rebecca Smolsky, Wildfire Prevention and Education Specialist with the Montezuma County Fire Chiefs Association. Rebecca, I understand there is a forum coming up on Wednesday for wildfire preparedness, and who's attending that? What's that going to be all about?
The Montezuma County Wildfire Preparedness Forum we're having this Wednesday night is really for folks who are involved in land management in some way, and there's some going to be a few federal land management folks, but mostly looking at private lands. And when I say land management, I'm including real estate agents, builders, landscapers, all kinds of folks who are in a position where they can share with other people information about preparing their homes for wildfire. And we're just trying to gather what resources are already existing, make sure that everybody who's in attendance is aware of all of the resources that we have available already in the community to help individuals. And then to identify and move forward with some of our priority county projects here in Montezuma County.
Steve, from your perspective, being at Mesa Verde National Park, why is it so important that homeowners and people living in communities around the park are so diligent and understand what they need to do to make sure that they're ready in the event of a wildfire?
Well, wildfires are move right across jurisdictional boundaries. They don't have any, they don't stop because it's all of a sudden from federal land to private or vice versa. if you have a house that's in an area which is, we call the wildland urban interface, it is critical that you take steps to protect your house by lowering the amount of fuel around those buildings, getting rid of ladder fuels that will keep the fire out of the canopy and will keep it on the ground, making it much easier to support, and by just following some simple protocols that are spelled out in FireWise, which is what I use in the federal government to protect the buildings. And I have, over 160 buildings in Mesa Verde that I'm directly responsible for. I'll go ahead.
I was just going to say, you've been working as a firefighter for quite a while, and the situation's definitely seeming more serious lately. We're in a drought. We've got a lot of dry conditions out there. What are some of the big misconceptions that the public has around wildfire right now?
It's always a little baffling to me when a fire moves through a community and destroys a bunch of homes, and people just sort of like scratch their head and wonder, how did this occur? I've been in San Bernardino in 2003, where there were several thousand homes that were burned up, 2,500, I believe. And I've been in a lot of other fires where homes are burned up, and the effects are that on a windy day and with the right conditions, fires will move where they want to go. And the homes that survive typically have followed procedures to have metal roofs, to have the gutters clear all the ponderosa pine needles out, to follow some simple steps that can help them. It doesn't guarantee that they'll survive, but it increases their chances dramatically.
Rebecca, what about you? What are you seeing when you talk to homeowners and you talk to people out there? What's the head-scratcher moment for you as you talk to people about wildfire out there in the community?
Oh, I think there's just a lot of people who are wondering what else they can do, or have such a big problem in front of them that it's really daunting and they're not sure where to start. So that's where I come in often, and I help people figure out some steps that they can take to get started. And FireWise, I was just mentioning the forum that we're having on Wednesday night, which is trying to figure out ways to get more information to more people versus being kind of the one halftime person trying to convince everybody that you should really be prepared. It's smarter. It saves more money. So trying to disseminate that information. But there's also a tremendous amount on the individual level that people can do today and that they can get support from me on. I sent you a few more links to add to the KSJD website to give people some individual information. And I'm also available, whether you're somebody who could maybe help at a more regional level, because you you go out to people's properties and you recognize that wildfire risk and can help share what resources are available, or you need those resources for yourselves or friends, you know, you can contact me at MontezumaFirewise@gmail.com.
Steve, as we head into this sort of new normal of dry conditions, and of course this is not just here in the Four Corners area, but really across the West, we've got such dry conditions and drought. Where do you see this heading? I mean, as you look at Mesa Verde National Park as a fire management officer, what is the future going to bring, and are we going to be able to handle this the situation that we're in?
Well, that's a good question. I was thinking about that as we were talking here, and I'm glad we're covering this. When I started in the business, it was 1988. Colorado at that time was, a lot of fire folks called it the asbestos state, because the big wildfires were few and far between. There was monsoonal moisture that came in regularly at a higher altitude. The fires just didn't burn here, from our perception back in the day, as much. And then in 94 at Storm King, perception started changing. We lost a bunch of firefighters there. Recently, of course, the big fires on the Front Range, where we've lost a couple thousand homes, I would think, something like that. Terrible losses, loss of life. So things are changing. And some of the climate scientists and some of the vegetation scientists have predicted that, for instance, that the pinyon and juniper is going to start pushing north and receding for the south, so they'll be replaced by brush fields. And go to Mesa Verde, and you're seeing a fine example of that. One climate scientist or one environmental scientist said on the East Coast that the hardwoods would gradually be replaced on the East Coast by more brush. And so the oak, the walnut, the maples back east would be replaced, because the fires are just going to become more aggressive according to the weather models that we're seeing now. And again, that goes back to people maybe don't have a big memory of large wildfires here around the Durango and Cortez area that were destructive to homes. But from my perspective, I think we should all prepare for it, because I think that they are going to come.
Do you think that this science that you're talking about is informing policy, or is there a gap between what's happening with climatologists, people studying vegetation, and the policy that's being rolled out?
Well, for wildland firefighters, we are like our structural brothers and sisters. We are reactive at some level. So we get a call for a fire, we react and put it out. The more aggressive, proactive would be to increase the funding for the hazard is fuels mitigation. And it's suffered the vagaries of Congress a bit and gone up and down. And that's just, I guess, to be expected when you're funded by direct appropriations from Congress. So I don't have a good forecast on how that budget will hold up.
I would say the fuels budget's kind of always in flux. I know on the BLM side of what's coming into our area, it's at least up from last year, but not quite what it was a few years ago. But I was going to mention the National Cohesive Wildland Fire Strategy, because that's kind of got several different arms to it, and the center of that is science. They've kind of put that as their foundation of how decisions are being made about how they should deal with the forest management aspects of wildfire, how they should deal with wildland-urban interface. What's the other part of the strategy? The third triangle, Steve, you remember? But anyhow, in the middle of that is the is science. So they are definitely considering that, at least at the planning level. How that falls out in policy is more what Steve was getting into in the politics side of it.
Sure. Any final things you want to share, Steve, about what's going on at Mesa Verde National Park, or what folks should be looking out for this summer as far as it relates to wildfire danger?
Yeah, absolutely. I would continue to follow the advisories that our Chiefs Association in Montezuma County and La Plata counties, for instance, put out in terms of fire bans. Continue to ask, let the Sheriff's Department here in Montezuma County know if you're going to do a burn. Don't burn if it's going to be windy. Check the weather. And I wanted to point the finger a little bit at Cedar Mesa Ranches, which when I first got here was identified to me as the most at-risk subdivision in the area. And I'm not really sure how that all hashes out now, but they've done an awful lot of work in there. The Homeowners Association is actively encouraging people to follow FireWise principles, and they've made the place a lot more survivable. And there are other subdivisions that Becca knows a lot better than I do, who have done excellent work around their buildings, and I would encourage that.
All right. Go ahead.
They've done that through their participation with Firewise of Southwest Colorado. That's how they got engaged and started getting their whole community engaged in those Firewise activities.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here this morning. It was nice to hear from you.
Thanks for having us.